Good morning, church. Good to be with everybody this morning. I hope, as the song said, that it is well with your soul this morning. You know, today is the day of salvation, the Bible tells us. And if it's not well with your soul, today would be a good day to come out to find Jesus Christ as your Savior, would it not? Absolutely. And you say, well, Dave, you said, you know, that we're all at church here this morning. I don't care if you go to church 365 days a year. Is Jesus Christ living within your heart? Is Jesus living there? Is the Holy Spirit going through your veins? You know, that tells you if you're saved. Going to church doesn't save you. Paying your tithes doesn't save you. Getting baptized doesn't save you. Those are all good things. Don't get me wrong. But to be saved is to know that Jesus Christ lives within. Amen? That's what it means. Is it well with your soul this morning? That's the thing I would like for you to understand before I get started here. That's not my sermon, but praise God, he shows you things, does he not? I'm going to be preaching a little bit on something God has just tried to bring me back to a lot this week, and that's fundamentals of the faith. I want to preach a little bit about those down through the coming couple of weeks. Maybe, I don't know, however the Lord directs in it. But I want to talk about the fundamentals of the faith. I'm going to start with one verse. I'm going to use that as my text verse, and it's going to be in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, the 11th verse, if you'd like to turn there with me, please. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. And when you get there, if you can, please stand, and let's read in honor of God's Word this morning, if you can. Understand if you can, understand that as well. Now listen to this verses here. It says this, lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I'm going to read that again. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning again, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be up here, Lord, this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. I praise and thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy, Lord, that you've bestowed upon me, your grace. I praise you for the salvation that you so freely give. I pray for all those that are here this morning, for the hearts and the minds, Lord, the Father, that they would be opened, Lord, and Father, that your word would reach to how it needed to be reached, how it needs to reach them, Lord, and the Father, that my lips, Lord, would be anointed this morning, and Father, we will praise you for it all, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Now, as I read that scripture down through the week to try to get it, I always look up trying to figure out what the scripture tries to tell us and what it means. And you know, it says there that in order the Satan may not outwit us, what it's saying is, for we are not unaware of his schemes that he does around us each and every day. We as Christians also must be on guard for Satan's schemes, right? We need to be that way. You know, one of the definitions of schemes that I found was, it was a marketing strategy. That's what it says whenever it's talking about a marketing strategy. Can I tell you this morning that Satan's got a very good marketing strategy out there that to try to deceive not only this world, but also try to get into Christians' minds and into their lives as well? He got a very good marketing strategy out there, which he tries to do. There is a saying that goes like this. I don't know if you've heard this, but I haven't heard it for a while, but I wrote it down. A Bible that is falling apart usually is owned by someone who isn't. Amen? I don't know if you've ever heard that before. I heard it years ago, but that is a good one. You know that? And I thought, well, Lord, that goes right along with this morning. Listen, there is a lot of wisdom in that. There's a lot of wisdom. It doesn't take a spiritual giant to look around us today and see a correlation in what's going on in the world today and a lack of people not interested in God's Word. Doesn't take a whole lot to look at that, does it not? There's a lack of going to church and sound Bible teaching and moral decline in this nation. Can I tell you, like I said, it doesn't take a spiritual giant. It all goes hand in hand in hand, and it has been down through the last few years. It has. Now, there's no doubt in my mind. Matthew 7:24, and you've all heard this scripture before, it says this, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. I mean, very simple. Very simple. Take the Bible, read it, let the Spirit of God, you digest it with that, and you take a hold of it. And that's what I'm trying to get to here later, and we'll get into some fundamentals of it. If you want to understand why things are not what they are only in this nation, but around the world, it is because there is a lack of God's Word, not only being read and taught and studied upon, but from behind the pulpits. I'll point my finger at the preachers as well, and upon the teaching that goes on in some churches. Get this, in the past 25 years, 40 million Americans have stopped attending church. 40 million. Now, this isn't me just saying this. I've got statistics to back it up. 12% of the U.S. population has quit going to church. And even those statistics show that individuals who attend church regularly, you know, they say that. But overall, if you look at, with that being said, people who attend church regularly have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now get this. This is some of the things. Have overall better health outcomes. Did you know that? Listen, we may think and say, well, now, what about sister or brother? I'm talking about on the average. They have overall better health outcomes if you attend church regularly. Compared, that the U.S., did you know this? That the United States spends more on health care than any other nation in the world, and we get less benefit from it. Did you know that? And that's just something that we don't really grasp a hold of, but that's true. Do you know longer? The people that attend church on average live longer. Did you know that? I know he had mentioned like 76 and 80, but we live longer compared to the overall U.S. population. The last 4 years, life expectancy has went down every year in this country. We have higher financial generosity if you go to church. It's just statistics show that. You have a more stable family. Can I have an amen? You have a more stable family if you attend church regularly. It just statistics show that. Since 1960, the birth rate in this country has been cut in half. If you want to complain, now, amen or oh my, if you want to complain about why our government and why people are letting people in at the border, it is to supplant or to add to the population that the United States is not able to keep up with. That's why. Look it up. You can see what I'm talking about. But anyway, in the 1960s, 500,000 couples lived out of wedlock. 1960, 500,000 couples lived out of wedlock in the whole United States. Guess what it is today? 4.9 million. 4.9 million couples live out of wedlock in the United States. We're talking statistics. I'm not throwing stuff out there off the top of my head. I'm just giving you stuff that you can go out and you can find. Listen, by 2007, and this is not even 50% of American households were run by an unmarried individual, and 40% of the children were born to unmarried adults. By 2007, that isn't even up to date. Now, I'm going somewhere with all this. I just want you to understand what's going on. And the driving factor behind that can be traced back to this. In 1950, the participation rate of women working was only 30% in this nation. Today, it's up over 60%. And I'm not bashing women for working. You know why the women are working? Because I said 40 million of them, 40 million of them, of Americans living on in unwed households, it's because usually the mother is trying to take care of the household. We live in a nation where things have fallen apart. We have. Lest Satan should get advantage of us, do you understand what I'm saying? And take advantage, for we are not ignorant of his devices. There's a reason why he loves to get the family tore apart. There's reasons why he does all this stuff. Because he knows if he can tear them apart, if he can get things tore down, brother, sister, he'll get the church tore apart. He'll get things going in the direction that he wants it, and it has happened. Satan's schemes, his strategy all along have been to divide and to conquer, and he's done it. We see him doing it within the family structure. We see him doing it within this nation. And don't be ignorant, we can see him doing it within the churches as well. Satan loves nothing more than to have a church full of spiritually anemic people. That's what he loves. He loves people that are spiritually anemic in a church. Because you know why? From the pastor on down, you see Satan doesn't care if you revere the Bible. He just doesn't want you to know the Bible. You can have reverence for the Bible all you want. I remember Oki telling this story all the time about the guy. Don't you remember him telling the story about the guy that knew the Bible really well, but didn't go to church, wasn't saved? He could quote the Bible. He could quote the Bible backwards and forwards. Can I tell you something? Satan knows the Bible probably better than anybody in this church. Doesn't he? He knows the Bible better than anybody in this church. Whenever Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did Satan try to use on him? Tried to use the Word. Exactly. And don't you think for a minute that he doesn't try to twist the Word and twist things around and make people upset and make people mad and make people think that I'm never going to church again because the preacher said this, the preacher meant this, the preacher meant that. Listen, the Word of God is something that the devil loves to twist around, and he will do it. And he loves spiritually anemic people in churches that hear the Word sometimes but don't understand the Word, because you know what? It takes the Holy Spirit in your life to understand the Word of God truly. He knows how to twist and manipulate it. In Matthew 4, then Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And again the devil taketh him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and will worship me. We know how Jesus answered it. He used the Word back against him, did he not? Yes, he did. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Again, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not arrogant of his devices. That's why the Spirit has been kind of impressing upon me, Dave, get back to the fundamentals of the Bible. Get back to the fundamentals. Because you know what? I don't think sometimes we in church kind of understand the fundamentals of what the Bible's trying to tell us and teach us. Oh, we're good about doctrines, we're good about this, we're good about that. But brothers, the doctrines and stuff will not save you. It takes the fundamentals of the Bible, it takes us believing them to help us to understand what's going on in this thing. That's why I believe the Spirit impressed upon me to do that. I believe these are absolute essentials to a Christian believer. And without these key truths, there's no Christianity. Number one, fundamental of faith, we believe there is one God and one God only. Can I have an amen? No other gods. I don't care what they teach in college. I don't care what anybody else, any other religion teaches. I don't care what anybody. There is only one God. If it's essential to you this morning to understand that and to believe that, there's one God and one God only, and He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God that sent His Son to this earth to die. He is the God that praise His name, that thought enough of us and loved us enough to send His Son to die upon a cross for our salvation. There's one God. Both the Old and New Testament record this in there. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it says this, O hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one Lord. What he is. He's one. 1 Corinthians 8:6. But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom all things, and we in Him. He's the Father of all things. Ephesians 4:6. It says this, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The Bible cannot be any plainer. If you're going to build the foundation of Christianity this morning, understand this. There's only one God. I may be preaching to the choir here this morning, but you know what? There's a lot of people out there that try to make it out in different ways. Amen? This is the first fundamental of the faith. We must grasp it. And we must grab a hold of it. The rest of the Bible will make no sense to you if you don't understand that there's only one God. One God. Hebrews 11:6. This is very important. But without faith, mentioned earlier, it is impossible to please him. Now get this. And for he that cometh to God must believe that he is what? That he is. You're not going, salvation, you'll not have salvation in your heart if you don't believe that there is a God and the only true God. You'll not get that. You'll not grasp that. You could be sitting here this morning and you may not believe, but there's only one, and that's the God, one true God. And that he is a rewarder of them that what? That diligently seek him. You'll not turn your life over to something you don't believe in. I have an amen. You do not turn your life over to something that you don't believe in. People did not give up their lives back in the Bible. Paul, all the disciples did not die being martyred because they believed in nothing at all, right? They believed that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed that. They believed that so much that they were willing to give up their lives for that. They were willing to give up on everything else and to try to get the word out. How many of you in here believe that, you know what, that you could turn your back on your family, that you could, you know what, that they could kill your family in front of you and you would still claim that Jesus Christ is Savior? That'd be hard, would it not? That's what they did. That's what some of them did. They were martyred. Some of them were burned at the stake. Some of them were boiled in oil. Some of them were all these magic things because they claimed that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. Lord of Lords. And they did that. You go back and look at it in history. You don't do that unless you believe in something, do you, leader? You don't do it. You got to believe that God is God. And that's the way that you can come to him in salvation. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one, that inhabits eternity. God, and you know what's the, you know what that scripture, I want you to mark that scripture in your Bible because you need to, it's been said around here many times, really study that out. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. You know what it means to inhabit eternity? It means that God can go to different dimensions. When you study this is very, very under. God can go, he can function outside of time itself. And do you know that God is a time traveler? He can go back in time if he wants to. He can go ahead in time. He can do all that thing because he inhabits eternity. And that's what that means. Praise his name. In 2 Peter 3:8, it said this, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That's why. Because God is not held to the principle by which we are held to. Fundamental number two. And I may only get to two or three of them today. I don't know. We'll see what we're getting to here today. We believe as Christians, not only is there one God, the God, but this God is the one, is the creator of everything that we see. He's the creator of heaven, earth, and us, and everything we see around us. We believe that. That's a fundamental fact that we have to believe. Psalms, it says this. It says this. Psalms 102:25. In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. You see everything out here? This is the work of his hands. Everything out here. We believe in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word for create is bara, B-A-R-A. Do you know what it means? I thought this. You probably know this, but it means that God created everything out of nothing. There was nothing there, and God created what we see out of nothing. Hey, what do they make steel out of, Greg? They make it out of iron ore, and they got to have something to make it. Whenever you bake chocolate chip cookies, don't you have to have butter? You got to have stuff to make it out of. God isn't held to that. God created everything that we see out of nothing. Once he got the world created, guess what he made us out of? He took the dust of that he'd made nothing out of, and he made man out of that. Praise his name. God is the one that we see that made all that we see today. And praise his name. Praise his name. We have to believe that he is that God. Fundamentally, we don't, It isn't nothing about a big bang. It isn't nothing about anything else. We believe God created it. That is a fundamental belief of Christianity this morning. I found something quite interesting here. I'd read about it or heard about it here a while back. They say that the Earth expands at 40, or the universe expands at 41.9 million miles a second. They say that's how it's expanding out. That's how they go by their Big Bang theory. Well, I never heard this before, but some guy had brought this up. He said, "Listen," he said, "they think that there's life out there somewhere. That they say they think that there's life out there on some distant planet. That's why we see all the stuff in the sky, the UFOs and all that kind of stuff." But this guy said, "Listen, mathematically, it's not logical." And he said, "You know why? Because," he said, "if they're saying that it's expanding at 41.9 million miles per second," he said, "that life out there is not as new, is not as old as the life that's on this planet." He said, "How can that be?" And I thought, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. So listen, whenever you hear that there's life out there, that you hear UFOs and stuff, those things are real, don't get me wrong, but that's part of the devil's plan. That's part of his scheme. Don't think for a minute if you hear somebody say, "Well, they're just wacko. They've seen UFOs." Listen, there is stuff out there that people have seen, and that's because of Satan's plan. I'm just here to tell you. Listen, we have stuff in this universe that we don't understand sometimes, but I believe God has the one that has made it all, and I believe that this morning because of what the Bible said. God didn't need to create the heavens and the earth. Did you know that? He didn't need to create heavens and earth and people and animals. Because why? My Bible tells me God lacked nothing. He lacked nothing. He didn't need us. He didn't need the planets. He didn't need the stars. He didn't need any of it. Acts 17, 24 and 25 says this: "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands," now get this, "as though he needed anything." He didn't need anything. He didn't need us. But he did it, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He did it because his very nature is good and he loves us. And that's why. He loves us. He give life to us. He give us this planet. Give us all those things because God's nature is good and God's nature is love. Amen. He did it because, and also we know this. The Trinity. I want to talk about another fundamental belief of Christians is the Trinity. Amen? The Trinity was at creation. We know there was God the Father. Does not the Bible say that the Spirit was there? Yes, Genesis 1:2. It says that the earth was formless and empty and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, what's it say? Was hovering over the waters. So there's the Spirit of God. And Jesus Christ also, he was the one that was there as a creation. It says this. It says the supremacy of the Son of God. 15, the Son is the image of the indivisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether in thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Amen? That's what it says. That's the Son was there as well. Folks, God created everything, and the Trinity was there. Those are the first three that I want to talk about this morning, brothers. I wanted to let you know that God is the only God. Amen? He is the one that created everything that we see. There's nothing else. No, but nothing else can make any sense. Nothing else, but God created it. And brothers and sisters, there is a Trinity. There is a Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are three fundamentals that we need to start with right there that are basic, but I'm telling you, those are the things that we can start with to have a foundation that is strong, with no matter whether it's in this church, whether it's in our families, no matter where it's at. Those foundations right there are true and stable, and I praise God for them this morning. In Ephesians 4, 17 and 18, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Because of the blindness of their heart. Folks, if we don't believe in the fundamentals, the foundational things of Christianity, the devil has us blinded. I'm just here to tell you, he has us blinded. And there's no way to get out of that except through coming to Jesus and letting Jesus save your life, letting the Holy Spirit come in and enlighten you through these things. Belinda, come and get a song, please.